Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Tonight is the Wednesday night edition. That is to say, the midst of the week. You know, the 3 days and three nights before the resurrection. This is that night. Well, tonight we got your brother. We got the Nation of Peace out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, with our brother, Nakomi Swanson, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, a.k.a.
Amen.
Nehemiah Israel, a.k.a. Lil Israel, bringing what?
That kingdom state of mind.
That kingdom state of mind. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, tonight's precept, work in progress. So to it. That's all it is. Work in progress. So, with that being said, we're gonna let our brother take us right into the precept. Brother Nakomi.
The precept is work with what you have. It says work with what you have. That's the name of the precept.
I ain't have my glasses. Forgive me, bro.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to get started, people. I'm Brother Nakomi Swanson, Little Israel, Nation of Peace, Israelites. I think I heard Brother Isaiah. So, people, we're going to get started without delay. Max all the brothers to face the east. And uncover your heads, all sisters, face the east, cover your heads. And Brother Isaiah, bring a reading of your choice, and we're going to get started with the lesson.
Amen, amen, amen. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gold, and as nails fasted by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, I be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. The reading was taking place in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 8 through 14. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Isaac, can we have Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 as I start all lessons?
Yes, sir. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Amen. Can we also in verse 2, it says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning at all times we should be preparing for the coming of Christ and the kingdom of God. And in 3, at the end, it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That means a clear, agenda-free path for the people that's in the work of God and the people of God with the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So with that, people, the lesson tonight is work with what you have. Because some people say, you know, I'll be ready to do this when I get this, or when I move here, or on all those types of things. Well, when I make more money, I'll be able to do this and I'll be able to do that. But we got to understand, is that the right state of mind? Or should you supposed to be trying to make it happen with what you already got? So we got to understand that. Are you supposed to be trying to make it happen with the things that you already have? So with that, people, let's see how God works with us. Does he work on, okay, when you move to bigger and better things, then you're supposed to start doing things, or is you supposed to be working out things where you at? So with that, Brother Isaiah, we're going to start this in Luke chapter 16 and 10. Luke 16 and 10.
Amen. The book of Luke 16 and 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much.
See that? He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. So he's telling you, if you're faithful with a little bit, if you prove that you're faithful with a little bit, I know I can deal with you in much if you can deal with a little bit. But what are you doing with that little bit? And that's what people got to understand. A lot of people want to go to the next level on this and the next level on that. But what are you doing at the level that you're at?
Right.
What are you doing with the little bit of crumbs he got you with right now? Everybody wants to ride on high and all these things. But what are you doing with you? I'm saying, is you trying to ride on high right now? Where's your mind? Where's your motivation right now with what you have already? Is you trying to make it happen with what you already have? Or, you know, when I get a better job and all this other stuff, if I go, you know, I'm trying to go to school, I'm trying to do this. See, that's what I'm saying. A lot of us wondering why it don't seem like I'm going nowhere. It seems like, you know, I'm stuck. Things ain't getting no better. It doesn't seem like I'm moving no higher. Is you trying, I'm saying, are you putting your best effort in right now where you at? Or is you sitting around saying, wait till this happen and wait till that happen, then I'll do this. But let's show you that that's not how God works with things. That's not what he's waiting to see. He's not waiting for you to be sitting around saying, wait till I make things better for you. Brother Isaiah, let's go into Matthew chapter 25 and 20.
Yes, sir. Amen. The book of Matthew is 25 and 20. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
So you see that this guy had five. He said, I guess what, I gained five more. So now he's saying, guess what? He was faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. But he said, but you did something with that little few five. I can work with you. You're making it happen with that five. I didn't want to go through all the one with two and one with one. We ain't throwing up. I'm just trying to show you God gonna work. God works with you when he see you working with what you got. He said, okay, you need a promotion. I gave you five, you doubled that up. You doubled that. Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's somebody that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm saying, I gave you five, you come back with ten. Yeah, I can work with you. Because if I give you more, that means, okay, you might not double, but you're gonna increase it. Because you've proven already that you're an increaser. You are proving that, okay, you're going to do something to get it done. I say it all the time. Why should you want to be a millionaire? Everybody want to be a millionaire when you won't do the right thing with $20. I'll give you $20, you're going to go do something crazy. Why you need a whole bunch of money that you ain't going to do nothing right?
Right.
Okay. Why you think most of the people on earth is broke? I think that's just a coincidence God made. Most of that there's way less rich people compared to poor people. No, that's done for a purpose. Most of us don't deserve a whole lot of money because you ain't gonna do nothing but mess it up anyway. And every once in a while, he show you some knuckleheads. He'll let some of us knuckleheads get a little money just so you can see. Okay. We ain't going to do that with it. Especially here in the Western America where we live in. When you let some of these entertainers and stuff get some money just to show you, okay, then why I ain't give you no money? Well, you understand why most of y'all ain't going to never be rich, okay? You run around here with diamonds in your mouth and big old chains and, you know, doing a whole bunch of drugs and doing all kind of crazy mess. So every once in a while, he'll show you. See, this is why all of y'all ain't rich. I get it. Because now I'm saying I'm older now. But when I was young, I can tell the truth on myself now. I got wisdom now. If God gave me some money when I was like in my 20s, my 30s, I would have messed it up. Now, okay, I think maybe I'm way, my maturity level, my spiritual level, my reasoning for wanting money is way different than why I wanted money like 20, 15 years ago. 20, 15 years ago, yeah, I would have wanted just to show out like everybody else. Now I want to build the kingdom of God. I want to add to the ministry and things of that sort. You know, I mean, I ain't going to never take a vacation and go somewhere exotic. No, I don't mean that. I ain't going to lie to God. God don't want to have some fun. But I ain't finna mess everything up, though. And I ain't gonna run away from God. It's gonna be about him. But I can admit, if I was a younger person, no, I would be, I'm saying, I would either be, I would be probably broke and dead by now if I could have got to do all the stuff I could have done with a whole bunch of money when I was younger. So I understand why I give most of us money, a whole bunch of money. We ain't gonna do nothing with it. Not nothing righteous, not nothing purposeful. No, we're not going to do that. Some people, I don't care how much money you give them, they ain't going to try to help nobody. So we got to understand that. It's going to be all about what I look like. See, look, I got me a nice car and truck. I'm zooming right past y'all. Some people, that's what they want it. I want me a nice car or truck with plenty of room. So just in case some people can't make it to class, I'll bring them to class because I would have a class and all those type of things. I want money for a whole different reason. I want my own. Said if I had that kind of money, have my own TV station where I can set things up, do my own, all my things, have my own studio and all that to do all those things, to do shows. That's the reason I want more money now. It would be to push this. harder and harder and harder. Not about me showing up. Not about look at me. So we got to understand that. When you show him that with a little bit, hey, I'm going to do the right thing, then he can use you. Now he can move you up. I'm saying, once you show him you're going to do something, but you got to show him you're doing something with the little bit you got now. I only make so much money. Do something. Do whatever you can for him. Do whatever you can with the little bit. It doesn't matter. Show him something with what you have. The little bit that what you have. But we're going to continue. Let's show you, people, it ain't about money. Deal with what he's giving you. All of us on here should have somewhat understanding about the scriptures and things like that. These things can help people. These things can help you. These things, I'm saying, all these things that God show you are very important and very useful. So let's get somebody that's doing that. Let's show you that let's show you some examples of this all I got, but I'm going to work it out with what I got. Let's go, Brother Isaiah. Let's go on Acts chapter 3:1.
Amen. The book of Acts chapter 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God.
Stop. Now look. This dude couldn't walk. And he looking on Peter and John and said, and he wanted something from him, but most likely a lot of people be asked for money. But listen to what Peter said in 6. Peter in 6 says, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, people, Peter had that Holy Spirit. He just got the power of God. I ain't got no silver and no gold. Which y'all think this man would have meant more to that man? Some money that he could have been spent and probably would have been sitting right there again the next day, or that now he got the ability to walk. But guess what? Peter working with what he had. He wasn't working about what I don't. Oh, I ain't got. Yeah, I ain't got no money. But this is a man. That's connected to God and Christ. I can help you mm-hmm. in many different ways. If you're really doing this work, you're doing many things. Like I'm saying, I do this stuff every day. I got some people that just want me just to listen. That's something some people, they just need somebody. They just need a listening ear. Some people just need some godly advice that help them in their life. Way more than money can. Everything is not about money. So we got to deal with things of what you do have and don't be thinking about what you don't have. I'm going to make it down with what I have now. So we got to understand that. Ministry, being in ministry and being a man or woman of God and doing the work of God don't mean you got to have a whole bunch of money
and all those type of things. Just like with Peter, you help people with what you have. So we understand, and as you do that, guess what? Do that on the low. Do that on the low. Don't be out here looking for a bunch of glory. Like I'm saying, I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of people on this phone. Yeah, guess what? Through this pandemic, people been hurting. People been helping people. People probably been helping people pay their bills. But we don't need to. We don't need like some people that be doing stuff during these times. I don't need for the newscasters to come to my house and say, "Well, yeah, it's nice you've been helping." No, I don't need that. God said, "What you do secretly, He'll bless you openly." Don't need that. So we don't need no plug for what we're doing. But we should be doing something at all times, and it shouldn't be about what our circumstances. Everything he gave, the power of the money and everything God had gave me, I'll help people the best I can. Just like Peter did. He said, "Hey, man, this is what I got. Which one would you think was better?" I think no matter what amount of money he gave him with, ain't better than walking when you can't walk. Now, if you sick and you on your deathbed, no amount of money is better than somebody getting you healed. If you all depressed, damn near suicide, ready to give up, and somebody say the right thing in your ear, what you think is better, some money or now you got some hope? Now you got now you ready to go forward. What you think is better? This word of God can heal you. This word of God can give you some hope when you know this word, when you really know it. You are a counselor when you really know this word, when you go in there and give them his words, not your words. When you can go into this Bible and go script on script, line upon line, you can go all over this thing dealing with somebody that's going through something. That's worth a lot, people. That can change people's lives. So it's not always about money, but is you, what are you going to do with it? Or you just say, you know, when I get me a church and everything and things going better, then people can come to me and, you know, no. Doing it now. I'm doing it right now. So we got to understand that. Peter didn't have much, but he worked. He was saying, "But guess what? I'm working with what I got." Let's show you. Sometimes what you're working with, let's say it might be a little gross. Let's show you this. Let's go into Brother Isaac. Let's go in the book of Mark chapter 8 and 22. Today we wouldn't want this. What Jesus did, we wouldn't even want none of this right here. Mark 8 and 22. When you get a Brother Isaiah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Sorry about that, bro. All right, verse 22. "And he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly."
Stop. See that? Now, let's check this out. A blind man came, Jesus spit in his hands and then put it on the dude's eyes. Ew, that's gross. But that's why. That's what Jesus was working with. Say, work with what you had. Today, that he couldn't do that. Don't put all that gross spit on my eyes.
guess what? The spit worked.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with what he had. What he had was some spit. But guess what? I guarantee that dude's faith was had to be great for something. I'm saying, you got to believe it's going to work. When you see a little kid and he fall down and get hurt, and his mama rub it, don't get you say, your mama's like, you feel better? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Leg might be throbbing, but mama touching it, though. Because mama touching it, guess what? It feel better. Because mama touched it. Your mama, oh, baby, your mama give you that mama talk, that mama, when the kid hurt talk, that just seem to heal you up, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby, you're going to be all right. And she rub it. She said she might give you something sweet or something. You'd be, okay, all right. I'm going to say you sniffle it on up and you'd be all right. Your mama says, I'm going to give you some ice cream. You're like, okay. I'm starting to feel real good now, mama. Chocolate ice cream? Okay, uh-huh. Little syrup on that? All right, I'm feeling real good now. Shoot, I'm ready to go back outside. All right. Sometime, like I said, sometime encouragement work when you're hearing the right words. So Jesus, he used spit in the eye. But if you believe the spit in the eye, go, but if you believe in that, it's going to work. It's going to work. But you got to, I'm saying, but where your faith at? Do you really, I'm saying, do you really believe these things work? I tell people all the time, in order to do what you want to do, wherever you want to be in life, everything you need, you already have. You think you need something else. We all think we need something else. Right now, everything you need, you already have. Because the only thing you really need is you. The things that you know, the things that God got around there, all your experiences, is enough to get you anywhere you want to go. Doesn't matter about anything else that you have. You have everything you need already. Think you need something else. But all you just need to do is be in the right frame of mind. You just got to be in the right frame of mind. The way we think, people, that's why you said you got to be renewed in your mind. You got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you can change your thinking, there's nothing that can stop you. And the main part is defeating your own self. If you can defeat yourself, there's nothing that can stop you if you can defeat yourself. And if you can get control of yourself, if you can get control of your thinking and your actions, the devil can't mess with you. Nothing on the planet. Your boss ain't going to be a mess with you. Your kids acting crazy ain't going to mess with you. Your spouse ain't going to make nothing to mess with you once you defeat yourself. Once you get your thinking right, you can't. But you got to have faith that you can do it, and it all starts with your thinking. And what and a part of that thinking is, how do I stay at peace?
Amen.
How do I not entertain everything that's going on? How do I not just? Why won't I just mind my own business and whatever happens, I'm just going to peacefully deal with it. I'm going to lose my mind. But and the other thing is, I'm not waiting on nothing. I already have what I need to accomplish whatever it is. We got to get out of this mind. Well, when this happens, I'll be able to do it. But let's give you another example of somebody that does the same thing. Let's show you somebody else that you don't need nothing new. Work with what you already been working with. Brother Isaiah, let's go into the book of 1 Samuel. 17:34. 1 Samuel 17:34.
the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 34. 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he arrayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Stop, and the Philistine. Stop. So look, King David, he's trying to convince Saul to let him go out there and fight Goliath. We know the story. We got to get in the spirit of what's going on. So this young man convinced the king, hey, let me go fight against this giant. And the king said, all right, I'm going to give you all this armor and all this stuff and the sword, and you go out there and kill him. But King David, he put that up. He said, man, I ain't never worked out with this, man. You know what David said? I'm going to go to what I know. I'm a slingshot man. Let me use my slingshot and these stones. That's how I do it. That's how I get down. I'm out here killing lions and bears and stuff with my slingshot. Don't need your armor. I don't work with armor. I don't work with sword. Nah. I'm a slingshot man. I'm going to work what I've been working with. I'm going to work what I have. He said, I ain't never worked with this before. I'm going to work with what I already got. You see that? Y'all see that, people? See, the king got all the money, the new technology of its time. I got this armor for you. But guess what? He went back to the old school. No, I got the slingshot, dog. Keep the armor and all that, man. I'm good. Just how I've been doing it this way. I'm going to keep on doing it this way. So we got to understand that. King David worked. He defeated Goliath with what? What he been working with. He didn't need no new. He didn't need nothing new. He did it with what he been working. He was good. What he already had, people, was good enough. A lot of us don't think that what we have already is good enough. You don't think that the way you was raised and a little bit of education and how you do things is good enough. You'll be amazed that people can't believe how you do and handle things. Because you don't, for some reason, you don't have confidence in the stuff that you've been doing. But guess what? In some form, some fashion, sometimes, guess what? Things have been working. See, King David didn't, he said, this worked. Well, I need something else for? I'm good. King David said, I don't need no new, he said, I don't need no armor company. I need, he said, if King David was starting a company, he said, shoot, I'll start me a whole new slingshot company. I don't need no armor company. I make slingshots. I just make them better than everybody else. Okay, but you just got to be the best at what you do. He's got to work on what you got already. Say, guess what? I'm gonna, whatever I got, I'm going to be the best version of this. What I have, is, okay, I'm going to make that great. So right before I came on his phone, it something popped on my phone that day. Is Stevie Wonder's birthday. It's amazing. Stevie Wonder, one of the greatest musicians and artists in American history. A blind man. Using what he got. Ain't nobody on his phone, unless you're real young, don't love a Stevie Wonder. Everybody on his phone should have a favorite Stevie Wonder song. Stevie Wonder amazes. Stevie Wonder can invoke a feeling in all of us through his music. But he can't sing. He can't sing. I can't play a piano lick. I've been singing all 50 years of my life. I can't do what Stevie do. See, what Stevie do with them instruments and stuff, I can't do that. Stevie can do it, he can't even sing. You know why? Because Stevie using what he got, he ain't making no excuses. Stevie went out there and still out here being great. Happy 70th birthday. Birthday, Stevie Wonder. He's still 20 years older than me. So Stevie Wonder. But I love seeing stuff like him. I love, I'm saying, one of my favorite things, people, is working with people with handicaps and dealing with people with handicaps because I see potential in everyone. I'm saying everyone has something to give. If they have the right motivation, they have the right things for them. Like I'm saying, King David, he didn't use nothing new. He used what he was already having. Let's show you guys you don't take much to make it happy. Brother Isaiah, let's go on to the book of 1 Timothy 6 and 6. 1 Timothy 6 and 6.
Amen. The book of 1 Timothy 6 and 6.
But goodliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Stop. Hear that? He said he got food and raiment, be there content. He's telling you, guess what? Food and raiment, make it happen. Ain't no complaining, ain't no tripping. Make it happen. You should be content with just. People, I'm pretty sure everybody on this phone got food and raiment. Now, what you're doing right now, I don't know. You could be listening to. I know you got food and clothes, but you could be listening to the. The show with no clothes on, I don't know. You know, you can't nobody see you, so you can do what you want. He said if he could throw the raiment, he could make it happen. Reading it long, he said he ain't trying to hear none of our excuses about why you ain't doing this and why you ain't doing that. What you talking about? You got food, you just not worry about eating. You're not wearing them, you ain't worry about what you gotta wear, you got stuff in there. True. What's the problem? I ain't making it happen. What you waiting on? So schemes like this let me know, well, you got to get it done. God is not playing with us. He's telling you don't need much. But I learned this a long time ago, though. I remember before I ever became a teacher or ever did television, I had moved to my hometown and I had been watching this TV, spiritual TV show, and the person that was on it was this girl that I went to school with. And then I ended up being in a shelter, and this girl that I saw that had a TV show was at the shelter.
I was like, wait a minute. I seen you on two TV shows, and you down here. I said, did you do that from here? She said, yes. She said, I got two TV shows, and I'm on the radio once a week, living in a homeless shelter. This is before I ever started doing TV or any kind of ministry, but I was an Israelite, but I was in the beginning stages. And God let me know then, guess what? There ain't no excuses for doing no work. If a woman that don't even know she an Israelite, living in a shelter, got two TV shows and a radio show, why you ain't doing that? So everywhere I've been since then, I've always been on TV everywhere I've been. I've always been in some kind of ministry ever since then. I'm always been part of work ever since then because just seeing this person doing all these things at a shelter, let me know, what is your excuse for not doing the work? There is. So, like I'm saying, all these things the Most High show, be showing me. He shows us. We just go out here and see people getting it done with hardly any. Dude here in Minnesota, and he ended up being a Hebrew Israelite. He came to one of my classes at the library, too, this last summer. His new name, 50 Tyson. He's a kid with autism here in Minneapolis. Dude became a rapper. And he's well-known in everything. He's rap with regular famous rappers and all that. But he got autism. Then this summer, he came to my class, and he has a TV show of his own, and he interviewed us. And I know the dude got autism. But, man, he gave us his interview he gave me. He was so professional. He spoke so well, and he's been doing this for a while. He's not letting his thing, he's not disability hold him back. And the other thing is, around about like 4 or 5 years ago, he found out that he was an Israelite. So he wanted to talk to, he saw a lot of groups that went away, but he saw that we were down at the library, and he wanted to interview me and a few guys that go to my class. And, man, that interview was great. He was a great interview. You would have never known that he had autism. And I love talking to him because even though he has this problem, he's very positive, and he thinks he's going to do everything. So how can normal people that do autism run circles around? How can a woman in a shelter on circles around people that got somewhere to live? So that should let you, these type of things let me know, oh, there's never an excuse not to be doing that. You should be at this, and you should be at this hard with whatever you have. There is no excuses. I'm saying I'm not the most lightest bulb on the tree, but the elevator is going somewhat up. I'm not at the autism level, so nothing should be holding me back. I'm crazy, but I ain't that crazy. What should hold us back? You out here seeing people getting it done with all kinds of things. But they, like I'm saying, they don't let you saying fake that their mind is in the right place. I'm not letting nothing hold them back. Well, my obstacle, their obstacle of whatever they set back is, that's what I'm saying. No, don't mean nothing. I ain't got a lot of money. Okay, so what? Right. I get it done with a little bit of scraps like that. I'll make it professional as I can. With the little bit that I have. So we got to understand that. There's no sitting back and waiting for your ship to come in and everything come get better and all that. There's no doing that. So let's show you that God don't, he wants you to, whatever he's giving you, do it 100%. Let's show him something. We're going to show you that, hey, when he tell you to do something, he want it all the way done. He don't want it halfway done. Brother Isaiah, let's go into 1 Samuel 15 and 1. 1 Samuel 15 and 1.
Yes, sir.
Let's get in. We're going back to King Saul.
Amen. The book of 1 Samuel 15 and 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. And therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass."
Stop. So he's telling him to go to Amalek and kill all them. Okay, people? He said, slay the men, slay the one. Infant, he's telling him to kill the babies. Okay? He said, kill everything. Kill the animals, kill all humans. All right? Kill little kids. I know some people get sensitive about little kids, but I don't know God. What about the children? Okay, if you know God, sometimes he say, what about? Well, we're gonna skip that. Brother Isaiah, let's draw down to verse 8. Because the link saying, because he's been given a commandment by God. God made this new king, gave him something to do. Let's read on. 8 on verse 8, 15 and 8.
Amen. Verse 8. And he took Agag the king of the Amalekites alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of a sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was
Stop. So, okay. He went in there and didn't do it all the way like God told him to do. Some of the good stuff he kept for himself and kept the king alive. So, like I said, God gave you an assignment. He wanted it all the way done, not halfway done, not 75% done. So let's see how God feel about when you don't work with what you have, when you don't do your job well. Let's go down or drop down to verse 10.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. I have not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night."
Stop. So, yep. See that? See, God finished, he's saying he turned it from him. So he didn't say he didn't perform my commandment. So he didn't do, he said, "It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king." Because guess what? 99.5 won't do. You're supposed to really give your real effort in anything God tell you to do. God gave him simple instructions. He didn't do it all the way. So we already know the story, people. He gonna make somebody. He said, "Okay, you won't do your job. I'll give it. I'm giving this job to somebody else." It's like when we read earlier, I'm saying when we was reading about the dude with the 5 talents, we know that most of us know that story. Okay, the person when they had one talent said he took that talent away and gave it to somebody else and said, "Put you in third time." Okay. So if you ain't gonna work with it, and that's the other thing you better realize, if you ain't doing that, okay, you said, "Well, shoot, I'll just give it somebody else. If you ain't gonna do it my way, if you ain't gonna put your best foot forward, I'll find somebody that will." So we got to understand that. I'm saying, you better quit thinking you special. Shoot, ain't nobody better at this than me. Better think again. Whatever God give you to do, we better put your best foot forward. through it the way that I'm saying, especially us in the work of the Lord, like I'm saying, he was called by God to be king. You better be putting your best word for God the way that he wanted done. You better follow instructions. So we got to know that. I'm saying it's a penalty for not being putting your best foot forward. So when in this thing, do it God's way. With the little bit that you have, don't try to cut no corners and then do it his way. Because some of us, we do. And people move up and do the wrong thing and then lose it that way. So that's what I'm saying. Don't become corrupt or nothing. But let's continue. Let's go into the book of Luke again, Brother Isaiah, Luke 19 and 16.
Amen. The book of Luke 19 and 16. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities.
Stop.
And the
he said he was good with the first pound. He said, I'm going to give you 10 pounds. He said, I gained 10 pounds. He said, I'm going to make you put you authority over a city for doing that, okay? I can trust you. He said, you can prove to me I can work with you. But let's drop down to verse 20.
Amen, verse 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an assured man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest thou, that thou didest not sow. And he said unto him.
Okay, hey, brother, I said, let's drop down. So he's telling you somebody, he didn't do nothing with it, just like the other one. He didn't do nothing with it. Let's drop down to verse 24.
And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
Stop. What do you say? If you don't do nothing with it, what are you going to do to that dude?
No, he going to die.
He going to slay him right before him. So working what you have, now you're learning, you better work with what you have. Because he said, guess what? I'll take it and kill you. If you don't want me to rent, if you don't want to listen to me and do things the way I want to, I done gave you talent, I done gave you things. Where are you supposed to be working it out for me? You're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be doing something with that. You're doing your best with that. If you don't do nothing, like I said, I'll take it and kill you. Or he could take it and punish you some kind of other way if you ain't going to do nothing with it. So we got to understand everything that God put before us. You better be trying to do something with whatever he put before you. I ain't got that much. You better, you know what I'm saying? You better make it spread. You better be, I was watching this thing the other day. They said like during the Great Depression, they had in order to make the beef be more beef because they barely had any meat. They said they used to take like old bread crumbs and add it to the beef to spread just so they can have more meat and spread it out. Okay, that's some old depression broke people stuff. Yeah, we're gonna add this to make it more beef. It may seem like it's more. I'm telling you, you ain't got much. You better learn how to do some, better learn some tricks. Better learn some things on how to spread. Man, it work with you. You got to make, you got to spread out what you got, man. Better do something with it. Then, I'm saying, you know, where we come from, they say black people, we be saying, they in-rigged it. They ninja-rigged it. Yeah, yeah, you better ninja-rig it. It'll work. Said it better come innovative. Better come creative. If you ain't got much. So we see, you don't want to be in a place and not doing what you're supposed to. You better be trying to make it happen. Like I said, through the rain and be there content. You better be content. You better make it happen with that. So he ain't, he's not settling for less. He said, I want you to be better than black people. I tell people all the time, man, doing this work, I bring the word, I'm saying I got to be better than the people in the mega church. Now, I don't care if it's just one person listening, no person's listening, 100 persons listening. I got to be at my very best every time I'm put forward in front of the people. And I'm saying, guess what? I got to be better than T.D. Jakes. I got to be better than Joel Osteen.
Right.
No, I don't got no mega church. But guess what? I'm be very professional. I'm going to study. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to put my best foot forward every time. No matter what, I'm going to get my best effort. I take a nap, everything. Whenever I teach, I prepare my whole day to teach. There's nothing, everything else I do, my whole day more important than when God appoints me to go to the people. There's nothing more important in my life. So I do, I'm preparing like I'm trying to get ready to play a basketball game or something. I make sure I got enough rest, make sure I've been ate, make sure I'm hydrated, all that. Look at my notes. Okay. I'm going to have my joke right here. I'm going to put the joke right here. I'm going to say something kind of slick, right? Okay, I go over my notes. And be the best that I can be. Because you know what? I truly believe I'm better than any of them cats. Because that's what it was like. Dealing with the real word. You're dealing with true understanding. So guess what? I believe I'm better than they are. Way better than they are. All I got to do is be the best that I am every time I'm in front of the people. Never know where it could lead to. Don't know. Never know who's listening. That's what I'm saying, people. You should always put your best foot forward. You never know who could be listening. You never know. So you should always put your best foot forward. You never know the opportunities that are before you. So it pays to always put your best foot forward, working with what you have. Just because nobody sees your talent now doesn't mean that they're never going to see it. You should be preparing every day. Hey, this whole situation is going to change. And I think every day. I'm going to believe that I'm going to go from 0 to 100 all of a sudden. God going, the right thing's going to be around me and saying 0 to 100 all of a sudden. That's just how I believe. I said, God is giving me too much talent for that not to happen. I ain't just good. I'm better than most of them. I feel. I'm saying, so. He wants us to do great things. Why I am saying, is it a sin for me to have confidence? Is something wrong with me having confidence in my abilities? I don't think so. I hope I'm motivating you to think the same way. You should think, hey, I'm the best at what I do. Or at least I'm working on trying to be the best at what I do. Saying with your job, you should be saying, you shouldn't be going to work saying, I'm just trying to get through this. No, I'm trying to be the best person here. You should think that about everything you do.
I ain't just talking about things connected. I know everything. I'm saying I'm at work. I got the best of tennis. I work the best. I'm it. Hell, they should be trying to. You should be thinking. They should be trying to make me the head of this. I'm so good. But that's how. But like I'm saying, it's all in your mind. You got to be working what you have. I don't care how little or how. High or how low. Okay, if you work at McDonald's, okay, be the best burger flavor you can. I used to be that. I used to work at McDonald's a long time ago. I used to be an opening breakfast cook. I was the best breakfast cook in the city of South Bend. What's your pride in that? You would have pride in cooking for me? Yes, I did. I had pride in being the best breakfast cook. I had great pride in that. So, like I'm saying, if you got the mind to be great, it doesn't matter what you're doing, no matter how little it is. If I was out there digging ditches, I would have been the best ditch digger I could have been. So we got to understand that. Be great. You say, let your light shine before men. You're supposed to let your light shine in everything you do. Just working with the little bit that you have. But let's continue. Brother Isaiah, let's go into Luke 16:11. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11.
Amen. The book of Luke 16:11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust to true riches?
See, he said, if you in the world and all this stuff, you say with the unrighteous, they can't trust you in that. How are you gonna get to the true riches? How are you gonna deal with the things of God? Them the true riches. Let's show you. Say, how can he trust you with this? You say, how can you get the multiple things? Let's show you. Let's go into Ephesians 3:8. They said, how can I trust you with something saying, okay, that's what I'm saying. God got to show you that you really going to do it, that you on the ball.
The book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
See, like you said, how can I trust you to give it to the church the manifold wisdom of God? Like you said, them the true riches. I'm going to get you the manifold things. And manifold means multiply those many things. You got to work out with the little to get there. So if you want to, you're saying if you want to work with the true riches, you think money is true riches. I can't trust you in that. You say you don't know what true riches is. Brother Isaiah, let's go to Wisdom of Solomon in Apocrypha 8:5. Wisdom of Solomon 8:5.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8:5. If riches be a possession to be desired in this life, what is richer than wisdom that worketh all things?
See that? He said, if you want riches, possession, like I said, he said, you can't work with the unrighteous man and the money. He said, you want his riches to be desired in life. What is richer than wisdom? Riches, if you got wisdom, it worketh everything. So how can I trust you? If you can't deal with this, how can I trust you with the real thing?
with the true riches? How can I trust you with that? You ain't doing that with this. How can I get you to, how can I really get you to where it's really going down? How can I get you to that? So we got to understand that, people. How can I use you when you ain't showing me nothing now? We're going to get you to the real thing. Like I'm saying, you got to show that you a trustworthy person, a motivated person, a person that they can depend on now with what you have. You said you should all, you said you should already be there. So we got to understand that. So we got to understand that, yeah. Be that, you got to show them something what you have now. How can I trust you and get you to the true things? Dealing with me, dealing with my wisdom. How can I get you there? So we got to know that. We got to know that, people. You got to be something. I'm saying, you got to show God that you're something that he can actually use. You got to really be something that he can use. So we got to understand that. Let's, Brother Isaiah, let's go into Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7 and 1.
Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth.
Good name. You have a good reputation. You said a good name is better than precious ointment. So people, guess what? As you're working, guess what else you're supposed to do? You, like I'm saying, all these things you're supposed to be working on you. You should be professional. You should be trustworthy. You should be dependable in everything that you're doing. You should have a good name. We ain't talking about your past and all that. But you should be working. When you with God, when you turn into the things, God, guess what? You should be working on your reputation. You should be working on your name. You should be working on, you know, saying, you should be dependable. You should be trustworthy. You should work hard, no matter what it is. Show God and like you said, let your light shine. I ain't got to show them. I ain't gonna let your light so shine before me, man. They see your good works. Glorify God. So, yeah. In every aspect of your life, you should be, yeah, letting your light shine at all times. I don't care what they think. It ain't about what they think. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be shining. That's all you should care about. I'm supposed to be letting my light shine. I am the light. That's what I'm saying, people. If you with God, you got to say whatever situation I'm in, guess what? I'm the light. So it don't matter what they if I care what they think about. No, I'm the light anyway, no matter how I go. I'm supposed to be the light. So we should be working on our reputation. What does that mean? Does that mean you perfect? In the same chapter, go to verse 7, Brother Isaiah. Drop down to verse 20. Drop down to verse 20.
Amen. Verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
See that? He said, well, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So I ain't saying when you make your name better, I ain't saying you're going to be perfect. But you're supposed to be doing good. You're supposed to be doing your best. You're supposed to clean your rep up. Is you going to be perfect? No. We're all going to step to the left every now and then. Because hopefully you don't do it too much in front of other people. For God's sake, hopefully you have control in front of, in the public, that you don't be out here clowning. And hopefully, when you step to the left, in your own place, in your own secret. It's your thing that you definitely left on. Hopefully you ain't got other people participating with you in your left. Like I'm saying, you're supposed to be fixing your rep. Brother Isaiah, I'm saying you're supposed to be turning and trying to do it. Let's go into Ecclesiasticus 17 and 25, because this is what we're truly supposed to be doing. Ecclesiasticus 17 and 25 in the Apocrypha. One of my favorites right here.
Ecclesiasticus 17 and
25. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Return unto the Lord and forsake thy sins. Make thy prayer before his face and offend less.
See that? He said, return unto the Lord and forsake thy sins. Make thy prayer before his face and offend. Said offend less. Start offending. That's what you're working on. You got to say, work on your reputation and offend God less. Read on.
26. Turn again to the Most High and turn away from iniquity, for he will lead thee out of darkness into the light of health, and hate thou abomination vehemently.
Oh, Lord, I love that one. He said, you hear what he said? 26. He said, turn again to the Most High and turn away from iniquity, for he will lead thee out of darkness into the light of health. He said, if you turn, your health can get better. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Woo. Yeah, but we're supposed to be down here fixing our reputation and offending less. It means they ain't going to be perfect, but you should be saying you can be perfect because we can do all things through Christ's strength. You should be working on being perfect. But we see where we definitely need to be offending less. When you work, them saying, working what you have, like I'm saying, you're supposed to be working on every aspect, not just I'm going to try to get more money or be better in ministry. No, I'm saying I'm supposed to be offending God less too. I got to work on, saying I got to work on that too. Let's show you something else you got to do, because a lot of you, I ain't going to work for them. I don't work for white men. I want to do this and I don't want to do that. Well, let's show you what you got to do before you get your own. Let's go to Luke chapter 16 and 12, Brother Isaiah. Luke 16 and 12. Let's show you that all these processes ain't in what process. To get to where you want, you got to go through the process. Like I said, we're wishing these things, but you got to work. You just want it just to land in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see is that how it goes. Luke 16 and 12.
Amen. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another's man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
What?
Those.
If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
Yeah.
See, you got to pay your dues under somebody else. That's how you're going to get your own. So you got to be a good worker. You got to work what you have. You got to give your best under someone else in order to what? Obtain your own. Yeah, I can't stand my boss. I can't stand my I ain't trying to. Mm. See what I'm saying? You're supposed to be trying to improve in every aspect. Even when you're working for someone else, that's how you're going to get to what you want. But let's show you that. Let's show you that if you work with what you have, what it can do for you. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 16, Brother Isaiah. Proverbs 18 and 16.
The book of Proverbs 18 and 16. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men.
See that? A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. See, your gift, the things that you already have, going to bring you to where you need to go. Like I said, people, a lot of us, guess what? You are very talented. Guess what? You just ain't around. Guess what? The right person, places, or thing you haven't seen. So don't sit around saying, man, whatever you work, man, I ain't going to never be able to do this. I ain't going to never make it happen. It ain't. No, just ain't. You, I'm saying, you just haven't been seen and been around, right, around the right place, people, places, and things. That's all it is. You just ain't right at this very moment. You just ain't around the right people, places, and things. That's all. So don't never quit trying to get better, whatever your talent is or whatever it is. Always be trying to get better and better. Wait, understanding, guess what? I'm preparing myself for whatever opportunity it is that I will always be prepared. So don't throw your gift away and don't work on your gifts. Always be working on it. You're saying, one day I'm going to get my chance. So your gift brings you before great people that'll be able to help you. Let's go into Proverbs chapter 22 and 29.
The book of Proverbs 22 and 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his own business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men.
See that? He says, see thou a man diligent in his business, meaning that you're real diligent in what you do. He shall stand before kings. He said, you're going to stand before me. And he shall not stand before mean men. That mean man don't mean somebody mean. It means people that can't profit you, people that can't help. That's what that mean means. If you go look it up, it means people that can't profit you, people that can't help you. He's not gonna keep you around people that can't do nothing for you. He said if you're dealing, he's gonna get you around people that can. He's gonna get you around kings. So keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Keep being diligent and working with what you have. Soon you'll be standing before great people that can help you. And you won't always be in the presence of people that can't. So don't never give up on whatever the gifts God has given you and the things he's put before you. And don't think these things won't grow or these things are not going to advance. No, always prepare like I said, every time I teach, every time I'm before people, I always imagine that I'm speaking with 100,000. Because guess what? I believe one day I'm going to actually do that. I prepare to be before thousands. That's what I believe. So God can't place me there, can't get me that kind of opportunity if I'm not preparing for that kind of opportunity. So that's what I'm saying. Anybody that knows me personally know that I'm a very, very person that's a stickler for professionalism and doing things right. Anyone that's personally dealt with me understand that I'm a very, very like that. Because I'm preparing for something. God has given me the ability, the vocabulary, and all these type of things. I'm saying the personality and the understanding that I don't care who it is or what it is. I can speak before that. I can teach before that. I can deal with it. I've done it before. I've been before many people before. I've done all kinds of things in the 19 years of being an Israelite. So I'm always preparing for it. There's been times I didn't talk in front of hundreds. I've done it before. But it doesn't matter to me. I'm saying it be one. I don't care if it's one. Sometimes I just be standing on the street and do it. Doesn't matter. I'm gonna give God my best effort, no matter who I'm standing before. Cause you just was watching. You just don't know the opportunities that are there. So keep doing what you're doing, people. And let's get a scripture for that. Brother Isaiah, let's go into Ecclesiasticus chapter 51 and 29. Ecclesiasticus 51 and 29.
Amen. The book of Ecclesiasticus 51 and 29. Let your soul rejoice in his mercy and be not ashamed of his praise. Work your work, be time. And in his time, he will give you your reward.
You see that? He said, work your work, Man. Because I mean, work your work, what you're doing now. He said, do what you're doing now. You don't stop what you're doing now. Is that in his time, he will give you your reward. He said, your reward. Say, keep doing what you're doing, bro. Just get, like I said, keep working on what you're doing. Keep preparing yourself. He said, go get your reward. Send in your time and your season, you're going to get your reward. Don't worry about that. Just you keep working on what you have. He said, what you got to do, say, work your work before. What's in front of you? I tell people, what's in front of you, do that. Whatever's in front of you, do that. Do the best of what is in front of you. Do the best you can, whatever is set before you. He's telling you, do that right now. Say your reward coming. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Because like I said, sometimes it be looking dark. But guess what? He tell you what to do in that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and 4.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 4. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to low estate.
See that?
See,
whatever's brought upon you, take it cheerfully. And work one of the fruits of the spirits, which is long term, and be patient when thou art changed to it. Say, just be patient when you're brought to the low estate. So we got to understand that. Bro, go up to verse 3. Because he's going to let you know some more.
Verse 3. Cleave unto him, and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end.
See, he said, don't turn from him. He said, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being righteous. As you do what you're doing, keep being righteous. He said, guess what? That thou may be increased at thy last. See, increase coming. Otherwise, I tell you, you take a chance when you brought to a low state because you ain't staying down. You coming back up. Read on. And so this is the last scripture, people. Last scripture. Drop down to verse 8, Brother Isaiah. Verse 8.
Amen. Ye that fear the Lord, believe him, and your reward shall not fail.
See that? So keep working with what you got.
Amen.
Ye that fear the Lord, believe in him, your reward shall not fail. Like I said, keep preparing, keep doing what you're doing. Work with what you have, no matter how little, no matter how great. Give it your best effort at all times. And in your best effort, meaning also giving your best effort in your walk. That's why we say we're working on offending less. So we got to understand that. Now I'm saying people you want to be good at your talents and all that, but you want to work with everything you have. You want to work on your obedience and all those things too. You want to work on your, like he said, you're supposed to have a good reputation and all those things. So he said, and always put your best forward when you're under somebody so you can get your own. So with that, people, I hope you got some understanding with work with what you have. Don't be waiting for something else to come around. Do the best you can with what you have. With that, I thank you for your time, and I hand things off to Brother Job and Sister Raya. Thank you for your time.
Amen, bro.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Brother Nehemiah. This is Brother Keith. Grace and peace, everybody. I want to say that's a great lesson. You know, we should always keep the Lord first and do what he says. You know, otherwise, we're not going to find ourselves doing anything righteous. We won't learn anything. We won't receive the instruction we need in order to get into the kingdom. I like the reading from Brother Isaiah. I have an announcement. I don't know for those people who knew one of our church members, passed away. Her name was Mona.
No.
Yes. Yes, Mona.
Yeah, they didn't know.
They didn't know. I was trying to tell you, brothers.
No,
yeah.
No.
About yes, yes, brothers, sisters. Yeah, I just thought I should let y'all know. You know, she's a good woman. You know.
And I can't say why, but it was not the BS that's going around right now.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't that virus.
It's not that.
We think it might be just natural causes
it's
or something.
But it is the truth. Confirmed it.
May her soul rest in peace, brothers, sisters. We pray for their family. You know, and just hope that they keep up the faith and, you know, stay strong and vigilant in these trying times. So, excellent lesson, excellent reading, Brother Isaiah. And we got our close.
Thank you for the words, brother. Sorry for the loss of people in the family and everything like that. And always, Brother Isaiah, great job. Any more comments, testimony, any words?
If you just want to say this before anything, we like to send our condolences to the Tedder and Miller family. You know, she's a very, very, very renowned woman, and may she rest in peace. And Father, have mercy on our sins and allow her into the kingdom. Man, as far as the precept, bro, you know, hey, you nailed it. I was getting, you know, I was one of them razor blades and lemon juice, man. You know, you can always be doing better. You know, you can always be doing more. And with what you got, you know, and you made that plain and simple. You don't need a guy to have you do. You know, I mean, just think about what Joseph did with nothing. You know, and look where it landed him. You see, so that's a great illustration of how the Father will, you know, give you something that's your talent and say, now go make the most of it. You know, and that's what you're supposed to do. yes, sir. And great precept. And with that, I yield the mic.
Thanks, Joe. Go ahead, Brother Isaiah, and great job reading, brother. Great job reading.
Amen, bro. Excellent lesson, bro. Condolences to the family too. Make sure I keep our family in my prayers. It's a tight piece, man. You know, definitely, man. You know this. You know, the precept, man. You know, that was a lot of strength, man. You know, razor blades, lemon juice too. You know, in case if you don't do it. You know, but one thing that you said, man, that really, you know, that was a lot of strength for me was when you said there is nothing that can stop you, right? So if we have a mindset that nothing can stop us, that means the devil is impossible for the devil to stop us too. But in order for that to happen, we first got to work on our hearts, our minds. Once you get the mind straight, you're good. You know, and to put your best foot in trying to take care of the Most High business. You know, and definitely working what you have, you know. I really like how you brought out King David. You know, he didn't need no spectacular weapon or some new foreign technology to take out Goliath or even the lion or the bear. You know, he simply worked with what he had, and it was enough to get the job done. You know, and we can use this for our time. You know, don't need all these miraculous things. And to be honest, we're supposed to be content with food and raiment. You know, show you how good God is towards us, even when we don't deserve it. You know, but in all, bro, we really need to work with what we have, you know, and to focus on that and to keep the faith, you know, and just to strive with the stuff the Most High God give you. And, you know, if you keep working at it, you know, like the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering, then, you know,
patient. Be patient and wait for it. Or even if you fall down to a lower state, just keep doing what you're doing and have faith that God will bring you up at the point of time. You know, you had so many areas in this precept, and I thought it was very necessary, and it was strength and razor blades and lemon juice. And all, bro, you know, Mike, bro, it was an amazing, excellent lesson. Thank you for bringing the precept, bro. You know, Mike.
Thank you, bro. Great words, great words. And I'm glad you got something out of it, you know what I'm saying, that you can take it, keep investing yourself and give you more and more motivation to work with what you have and keep going forward. And I'm glad that you see that it all starts in your mind, the way you think, the way a man thinking is the way a man is. If you start thinking positive, if you think you're a conqueror, you will. He said, all you need is enough faith, it's a must, you can move mountains. So he said, it don't take much. Don't take much. With that, I yield.
Amen.
If there's not any hands up, Brother Joe, do we have any announcements?
Amen. It's like, once again, great precept. Tomorrow evening, we have the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible study class tomorrow evening. It's every Thursday night. The Sound of Living Waters, your brother Isaiah Brown, coming out of Peoria.
No doubt.
Bringing that razor blades and lemon juice, Jack, you know, Hebrews knowledge. Man, you know, what you guys getting is, you know, y'all done went, when y'all start opening up doctrines, Jack, you know that God of Israel is dealing with you. You know, when you start opening up doctrine, man, like the like that Bible quote you got offhand, I seen them teach at least 7 different doctrines from it. From the light code to how the sons of Adam, how the prophets have codes, and then how the generational codes, and it's amazing. And then with this Hebrews knowledge, man, it's like you just catching all our foulness on every level. Seriously.
The Father's merciful.
Man, ain't he? So no doubt about it. When you start having, when the Father give you doctrine, that's when he really dealing with you. And I got to say, I'm in the presence of good doctrine. All praise to the Father. What's the precept for tomorrow, Jew?
I know we talked on the phone before the precept started. I'm going to give that one a little bit more time. A little bit more time. The Lord brought some else to my attention. So, Lord willing, tomorrow on the Spirit of Meekness and Charity, the name of the precept that we're going to go over is called Rudeness is the Weak Person's Imagination of Strength. And that will be the precept tomorrow.
Once again,
rudeness is the weak person's imagination of strength.
Makes sense to me. Paul was strong to the strong and weak to the weak. He was all things to all people.
We go deal with that. But you know, the precept we're dealing with, you know, it might catch a couple of people attention that's in the truth. You know, maybe on something they need to work on. But the majority of the precept is hidden to really people. You know, ain't no telling who's on the blog talk show. Seeing we almost locked out every precept, but every time it's time to go on show, you got to call about 30 minutes early now. But it might catch somebody's attention. You know, maybe, you know, it's basically teaching people who have the mindset of the world, or just trying to get their mindset out of the world. Because, you know, the world has deceived the people in thinking the more rude you are, or the more reckless you are, or, you know, or a disaster with how you take care of things is basically strong. But not understanding that the fruits of the Spirit is where the strength lies. Remember, it's easy to knock somebody out, but it might be a little harder just to throw that fruits on the, throw the fruits of the Spirit on with long suffering. And how many times have you pissed God off and he would have knocked your teeth out, but he didn't?
You know, the Bible even said too, the Bible said it too, I think, in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you have yourself servants, don't always be behind them, because he might cuss you out one of these days. And the Lord said, if you hear him cuss you out, what God say? Hold your peace. Because how many times have you cussed people out in your own mind? You know, it's basically to understand what's strong and what's weak. What's weak to the world is what God calls strong. And what God called weak, the world called that strong. So that's why we're going to deal with this precept that is called rudeness is the weak person's imagination of strength. I get a mic.
Well, we're going to find out who the weak in the stone tomorrow among the good vessels and the bad vessels. Uh-oh. That's what's up.
Amen.
Amen. Ah, man, that sounds like a doozy. God, where we live on that. Well, Brother Nakomi, man, don't appear to have any more hands up. Any closing comments, man? Wonderful precept.
Not much. Just learn to work what you have, people. Don't be waiting on no one, no thing. Give your best effort at all times and everything that the Most High in Christ has put before you. And with that, I yield the mic.
Amen. Amen. Well, great mm-hmm. precept. And great job reading, Brother Isaiah.
Amen.
Catch your brother, Nakomi Swanson, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, of the Nation of Peace, bringing that kingdom state of mind, you know, here every Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Wednesday night. You sleepy.
I'm ahead of myself. Every Wednesday night.
Amen.
The Sound of Living Waters. So, with that being said, you're going to be here tomorrow evening. This Thursday night, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class with your brother Isaiah Brown. And he's every Thursday night. Okay, there we go. We got it out there. All right. So, with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. And we hope we edify someone here. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible. And your Apocrypha.
Amen.
And the Apocrypha.
Amen.
Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.